Well, if you have your Bibles, there's a few, three wee verses that I want just to leave with you. And the first one is from Proverbs. And Proverbs 14 and 12. And it says there, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And you and I are born onto that way the moment and time that we entered this world. We were born onto that way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And the next one is Psalm 66. And verse 16. Psalm 66 and verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. Can I ask you, do you fear God tonight? And I will declare what he hath done for my soul, what nobody else could do for my soul. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. And the final verse is Isaiah 43. And this here is a very special verse for me, because before I was saved, I used to run marathons and stuff like that there. And I come in one day and I put the Reverend McCrae's record on, the big one with the dog horn. And I wasn't expecting to hear this, but there's a part in it where he reads from Isaiah 43, where it says, to fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. Those three verses of scripture I'll be relating to. I just thank the Lord for the privilege to stand here tonight and give a word of testimony, because on the Sunday nights, way back in the 70s, and you know, the start of the 80s, I would have been on some marquee playing before the show bands. I'm sure, and maybe some of you don't mind them, but I mind them all too well. I love music, and on the Sunday nights, I would have been away there to play before the big bands, to get the crowd warmed up, and then when they ever come on, they could get it going. But that's where I was found on the Sunday nights, Friday nights, Saturday nights, and three or four nights maybe through the week. But I was born on the 7th August, 1945. In a little place about a mile and a half from a little village called Desert Martin. How many of you know where Desert Martin's at? We're not too bad. There's a couple of three knows where it's at. So I was born there, but you know, I was born in sin. And I was born with my back to God and my face towards a world that hasn't a big lot to offer you or me today. And you know, it's starting to get worse. But thank God for the 5th of September, 82. At 20 minutes to 10 in Calvary Free Presbyterian Church, and I can take you to the seat yet. You just come through the door on the right and over to the right, and it's four or five seats down from the front. The Lord put a big roadblock up, and he stopped me on that way that seemeth right unto a man, and he gave me new words in my heart and new songs to sing. I can remember the night before I was saved, we were playing in the cement works in Cookstown. And away even long before that, I knew the Lord. I knew the Lord. I knew there was a Lord there, and I knew that I needed to be saved. But as I said there, I was born 1945, went along to a wee school. And there's a wee man used to come in, the minister in the Church of Ireland man used to come in nearly every morning on "Light children, let's bow our heads and pray." That was nearly every morning. Some mornings he didn't make it, but he always come on and he always prayed. As I said, I had a faithful wee granny, and she sent me along to the choir practices when I was 10, 11 years of age. I used to sing in the choir of the local church. But then, you know, I grew up and I was confirmed and everything else, and got a job and got out into the things of the world. And I loved dancing and I loved playing music. And then I went along one night to a dance between Macrofelt and Castle Dawson. And there was this woman here sitting, and I went over and I asked her for her dance. And I don't know whether, you know, the both of us could dance, but we tried our best that night anyway. So I met her then when I was about 19 or 20 years of age, and we got married and come to live in Macrofelt. We got married on 26th of September, so you'll be fit to know that last Wednesday was her 51st anniversary. 1967, we were married and come to live in Macrofelt. And then one night, there was a man that was not come to the door. And when I went to the door, there was a fella there, and he says, "We're starting a group up and would like you to come and play with us in this group." I love music and all that, but I was just married and we were moved into Macrofelt and starting to settle down. So that was the start of 17 years playing in a country music band up and down the length and breadth of our land. And the first engagement we had was Stewartstown Orange Hall. And that was from 9:30 to 2:00 in the morning. And we only knew about 10 songs. So you can see the problem we had there, and we played them over and over. But we got through it, and then that continued on, and we played with different groups right on up through. And, you know, I just thank the Lord for sparing my life, for there were some nights I don't even remember coming home with drink. And there was now a fella, and he used to play with me on the group, a friend, Lexi Gilmer. And Lexi and me would head off in the middle of the day there when we're going somewhere to a rugby club or a football club or somewhere like that there, cold rain or lawn or wherever. And by the time we got there, we were drunk. And you know, the Lord saved Lexi too. And he finished up playing the organ in Salters Land Presbyterian Church. He's home with the Lord tonight. Another big lad, Tommy Gregg, and a good friend of mine, Bill Smith, he went up for to learn to play the guitar, and his fingers were bleeding when we went to do our first engagement. And he's home with the Lord too. The Reverend McRae appointed him to the Lord one night. And there's so many of them, and that, you know, that played along with me in the group, and they're home with the Lord. And there's some that I just don't know where they finished up. But that went on anyway for 17 years. And then, as I said there, there was a gentleman come along. I used to buy me fuel from Mr. Jim Watterson from Macrofelt. And Jim's a member of the committee there now in Macrofelt for a long time. But before that, our brother Jim wasn't saved. I got my fuel and my smokes and everything from Jim. And then I went down one morning, and there was no cigarettes, there was fuel and everything else. And I found out that Jim had got saved. Jim had come to the Lord, and the Reverend McRae used to be down getting his fuel and everything else when he was then. But our brother Jim, he started to come along and take the children along to the Sunday school. And he's the type of man, he wouldn't ask you, "Would you mind sending your children?" He tells you to have your children ready, and he'll be around for them. He's just that type of man. But I thank the Lord for Jim, because that was the vessel that the Lord used. And one by one, we have three girls, and a boy. And we have six grandchildren, two grandchildren home with the Lord, and we have six here. But Jim's come along and he took the children along to Macrofield Free Presbyterian Church. And one by one, they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. I remember our oldest girl coming in and telling me that she had got saved. And then Diane got saved. And my son had been along to the Bible, vacation school. And we're heading out to Dismartin in the van. He says, "Daddy, I got saved today." He says, "You need to be saved too." 7 or 8 years of age, told me I needed to be saved. Our youngest girl, she'll soon be 39 now, and she come to know the Lord at the Wednesday meeting, the children's meeting. So I thank the Lord, and this woman here come about a fortnight after it. Reverend McRae was down doing some council business, and he came up and he pointed my wife to the Lord. My mum come about a year after that. She's home with the Lord. I was talking there about my uncles and, you know, my family circle, and they were the type of men were always mixed up by the army. And 5 of them went to the war and 5 of them come back again, but they didn't come back the way they went. As it started getting older, I used to go up to the home to see my Uncle Jim. The words he said to me, "I haven't been a great character, and I would need to get right with God." At the joy of pointing them to the Lord, I went along to another home, to Honeymoor Care Home, and my Uncle Tommy was there, and he was ex-Alamein. He was in the Black Watch, a wild man, drinking and smoking and everything else. And after the meeting was over on the Sunday morning, the congregational church, as a woman came over to me, she said to me, "Are you anything to Tommy Donnelly?" I says, "He was my uncle." Well, she says, "I had the joy of pointing him to the Lord." Wild man, he used to lie in the streets of Macrofield. I mind taking him home. The old booze and the old drink. And you know, when your money's spent, you know the people that run the pub don't want you to put you out in the street. And many's the time I lifted them off the street and took them home. And I know my uncle Hobby was saved. And for the rest of them, I don't know, because I never had been in much contact with them. But my Aunt Lizzie, the last one today of a family of 7 sons and 4 daughters, she knew the Lord too as her Saviour. And in her own special way. And she was very kind. But as I was saying there, we're singing that hymn. I remember sitting around the fire, children, uncles, aunts, and everything else. There's nobody there now. The place is vacant. There's no sound at all. Sometimes I go out and I sit and think and I wonder, how did my grandad bring up 11 children in 2 rooms and 1 kitchen? No DHSS, no nothing, just them there. And he brought them up. But as I said, that's what I come up through. And I went along to the school and everything else, and couldn't wait to get left school. And started smoking and everything else. And as I said, I got married and our children come along and my son's witness. And way back then, I was sitting under the sound of the gospel. We used to go along to the children or to the church when they were getting their prizes. And we heard the gospel faithfully preached by the Reverend McRae. Sat under the sound of the faithful gospel preachers, walked out through the door. But as I said there, the night before I got saved, we were playing in the cement works in Cookstown. And even the way before that, I had friends. There used to be 2 pubs in Desert Martin. And you know, there's no one tonight. They're gone. So the Lord moved in a mighty and wonderful way. There's some of the people that used to throw darts from me. And you know, they've been to Bible college. And they're ministers. They're out ministers. and their own wee work going on. And a friend of mine, he would be my second cousin, Tommy Redfern. I wasn't saved, but everywhere that Tommy went, we used to go to a lecture in the Black. And everywhere that Tommy went, he was always telling me about my need of salvation. And I thank the Lord for him too. And he knows God's book from Genesis to Revelation. You ask him anything, and he'll tell it to you. And he always was there for to help me along. And the night that I got saved, I can remember I was sitting in the seat there in the church. And when the meeting was over and the Reverend McCrae made the plea, he turned around and he says to me, "Come on." And we went up and went up around the back, and they went up around the back, and the Sunday school superintendent, Barry Stewart, the Reverend David Stewart's father, and the soon to be Reverend Andrew Stewart, father too, pointed me to the Lord with my son sitting beside me. That's been 36 years ago. And it wasn't too long. I had to go out on the Monday evening and tell the boys and the band that I wouldn't be with them and the Archers and Macrofelta Hotel on Friday night. And the words were, "Oh, what do we do with the stuff?" I says, "You keep the gear. I don't want it." There was a burden lifted, you see. Burden was lifted, and I was free from that burden. I just thank the Lord for that particular night, that night in question, the 5th of September, 82, at 20 minutes to 10, when he saved my soul. And there was a man asked me last night, we're down just outside County Monaghan last night, way out the Cuthill Road, "Tell me something about before you were saved," he says. "A fella that goes out to these foreign countries to feed people and takes money out and feeds them." And I give a wee word of testimony to him. And there's so many lovely people out there, lovely Christian people, that the Lord has saved, and he's using them. And just, it says there from Job 14 and verse 10, "But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he?" But that, I come in one day, just as I was going along to the missions, like what I had said before there, going along to the missions and going to church and everywhere else with my friends where the gospel was being preached. But that day I come in from running, went out and done 5 or 6 miles or whatever, and I went over and I put the Reverend McCrae's record on. And I come to that Isaiah 43, where it says to fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. And there just was something about that that was working on my heart for all that time. When we were standing in the cement works in Cookstown on the 4th of September 1982, I had no interest at all in what we were singing or playing or whatever. And I didn't know when the Lord was going to save me. But that Sunday night at 20 minutes to 10 was at that time he stopped me on that road that seemeth right on to a man, but the end thereof for the ways of death. He put a big roadblock up and he says, "You're far enough. You have something to do for me. I've been singing the gospel now for 36 years. And I've met some wonderful people, some lovely people, and some people even that I go to sing for the senior citizens. I take an odd one of them up and down the countryside, and they come forward and they ask me. I even went in there to hospital. I took all on the first of February, and they were sorting me out, and it took 10 weeks to get me to Alton. Get me to Alvin Hospital for to get sorted out with the problem that I had. and went down to Cold Rain to get checked out and get an introduction to what was going to happen to me before I was admitted. And I went in, and the wee girl that does the scan of your heart, she was looking down the thing, and she was putting the wires and all on. She says, "You used to drink." I says, "I did." "And you used to smoke." I says, "I was on to the third packet some days." "What happened to you?" She says, "I met a man called Jesus. And he took that all away." She says, "Are you a Christian?" I says, "I am." She says, "So am I." We shake hands. And even when I went up to Alton Galvin for a couple of days up there to get sorted out, there was men in there that asked me the same question, and how they knew that I was a drunkard and that I used to smoke, I don't know. And there's a man lying over in his bed over there on the far side, and he was 84, and he was dying from cancer. 5 or 6 years ago we took it, and then it stopped a wee while, and it was back again. And he asked me the same question, and I told him, I says, "I met a man called Jesus." But he says, I am a Roman Catholic." I says, "You're a human being, that's what you are, and you need to be saved." And there's a wee man lying beside me from Dungiven, and he was a school teacher. And he was fit to bring up some of the people that I was making reference to on his mobile phone. Hector Hutchison, for starters. A man, Speedy Moore, that drunk a lot too, and he knew them all. I don't know how John stands before the Lord, but I told him of his need of salvation. You know, when we come into this world with nothing, and when we go back out of it again, we'll have far less. But when the Lord saved us, if you're here tonight and you know and you love the Lord as your Savior, He didn't save you to sit in the corner. You know, there's a work out there to be done. And I had the joy to help the Reverend McCrae or the Reverend McKee and the Bible Vacation School. I went along with my 2 grandchildren and I got a job. And I enjoyed the 5 days job working with the boys and girls and teaching them the Sunday school for 10 years away at the start. I just thank the Lord. It's all experience that makes you stronger. Makes you stronger in your walk for the Lord. But there's from John there in the chapter 9 and verse 4. Chapter 9 and verse 4. "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh when no man can work." There's no opportunity there. And here we find Jesus reveals, he reveals his own involvement in the mission of God. We're there to tell others. We're not to be ashamed, because them souls that we meet from day to day are walking on that road that seemeth right unto a man, and someday they'll drop into hell. And that's up to you and me to tell them of their need of salvation, of their need to be saved. You witness, tell them that sometimes you get a very angry response, but you'll get them thinking. And here we find where Jesus reveals his own involvement in the mission of God. And there's a few wee thoughts that I just want to leave with you tonight. A few wee thoughts about this verse. It's a verse that is so personal. Jesus said, "I must work. I must work." He tells you and me to do a work for him too. But he's not going to sit back, for it says that I must work. He didn't leave it to the prophets or to the angels. He took it on to himself and he came involved. And I asked the question tonight, if Jesus could work, why not you and me? Sometimes we can sit back there and, you know, we have the opportunity for to speak to people. And you'll find out that you'll not be popular. For I hear wee things, that man Donnelly can keep his mouth shut. If the Lord saved him, that's okay. But don't bother us. I want to be faithful to them people. Because someday they're going to die. There's a big man that just to come along to the supermarket in the town where we shop, J.C. Stewart. He always kept a good car. And his wife's dead about a year. But when you come in through the door, or the door, it doesn't matter who you are, Eddie speaks to you. Do you know where Eddie's at tonight? He's in eternity. He dropped up Hackerfell Street the other day. He took a heart attack. They tried their best, but Eddie's in eternity. A lovely man. We find out that Paul could write of his fellow workers unto the kingdom of God which have been a comfort unto him. Would Paul approve of our level of commitment? Paul suffered a lot. The Apostle Paul suffered a lot. I wonder would he approve of our level of commitment to the work, to the walk that we have. He didn't save us for to sit in a corner. He didn't save us for to stand back. He saved us to tell others. He says, ye are my ambassadors. Go out there and tell others. And I asked a question to believers in this meeting tonight. What role do you play in the mission of God? I must work when it is yet day. There is something for you and I to do. There is somewhere for you and I to serve. And you know, when I see our young men going from our church, and I left the magazine, and I see the writing from the Whitfield College of the Bible, but all these young men are going in. I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for taking them and using them. It is also essential. Note the use of must. Jesus said, I must. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He must be our light and our guide at all times. A man going along to sing one night at one of the black meetings, and I sang a couple of pieces and I gave a wee word of testimony. There was a band there called McCloy, and he loved the Lord too. We used to do open airs at the Northern Bank and down where he comes from, Halamina. And your man Harry would always say to you, don't be afraid to tell them, for I do. And he was a worshipful master. And there's a man standing at the door, and I knew I was for it. And I come forward to him. He says, you come here to sing, he says, not to preach. I wanted to be faithful to someone in there who was on that broad road that led to destruction. Maybe a word spoken in season. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and them that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So I just thank the Lord for the privilege tonight for to speak a wee word for him. As I said there, we have four children, we have 3 girls and a boy, and we have 6 grandchildren, and that was how salvation came to my home. The Lord saved the man, he put him there, he started to take the children along to Sunday school, and one by one they came to know the Lord. So there's a work to be done out there for your family and for all the other families too. And I just pray tonight that, you know, the words that I have spoken, it's been a long time since I gave a word of testimony. But away at the start, we're nearly out every night testifying at missions or whatever. But there's a work out there to be done. And don't be ashamed of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of him. He's your best friend tonight. He's there waiting. You get up in the morning and you set your feet out on the floor and you open your eyes. That's your first two mercies. You go down and the table's spread with food for you. And he provides it. There's nobody else. He provides all that food. And he uses man for to get it to you. He's a great God. He's not a disappointment. He's there in the good times. He's there in the hard times. As I said there, we have six children and they're all married and settled down. Or three girls, one boy, and we've got six grandchildren. Two wee grandchildren, they didn't make it. But you know, they're home with the Lord tonight. And we have one wee man, and he's five, and he's starting now to play the guitar here. So I'm hoping that he'll take heed. I could retire any time, and he starts, you know, want to get him sorted out. And I felt a tear run down my cheek when I was standing up, along with all our wee boys and girls, singing what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. He's only five. Only five. I just pray for them. There's many homes out there tonight, and they're wrecked with drugs and drink and everything else. I was there, and I know what it's like. So I just pray that these few stumbling words will be of some benefit to someone in this meeting tonight, or if you can relay them to somebody out there that you're working beside tomorrow or whatever. I just pray that God will bless you, the congregation here in Harcourt Hill and the Reverend James Porter. We go back a long time, brother. We're down to the convoy days back there. But I just pray in the Saviour's name that continue to praise the Lord if you know him tonight. If you don't, get right with God, for he's not a disappointment. Thank you.